We have a special treat for you right now, folks. A special, special guest, because on the line with us right now, all the way from California, is the co-author of a book called Launching Your Child in Show Business, a complete step-by-step guide. He's an author now, but most people know him as an actor. Television shows that he's done over the years, such as Eight is Enough. I remember when he was on when things were rotten. But on the line right now is Dick Van Patten. Hi there.
Hello there. How you doing?
Fine, and you, sir?
Very good. Very good.
Glad you can join us this evening.
Well, yeah, I am, too. I just got through working for a Canadian company, Livent. I've been in Chicago for 7 months.
Oh, yeah?
You know, they're doing Showboat, and that's produced by the Canadian company, you know, Garth Tobinski, Livent Productions. So I've been working for the Canadian company.
Now, you've been working as an actor all of your life, practically.
Yes, all of my life. Well, since I was on the stage in seven, right. Before that, I was a child model.
So you're best qualified to write a book on launching your child in showbiz. Now, you hear so many stories about the situations revolving around children who work in showbiz and how people say it's just so bad, and you've done it for a long time. You've also worked with a lot of kids in showbiz. So I assume from your perspective, since you've written this book, it certainly isn't all negative.
No, it's not negative at all. The only time it gets negative is if you have a parent that forces a child into doing it and the child doesn't want to do it. But, I mean, if a child really wants to be an actor or be an entertainer, there's nothing wrong with the parent encouraging it and helping him out. Because if he connects, the rewards could be great. And if he doesn't connect, at least you gave it a try and it just wasn't supposed to be. But if you don't give it a try, I mean, you'll always be frustrated, wondering, well, maybe I should have tried out. But, no, the only bad thing is if the child doesn't want to do it and some parent just wants to push them into it. But that doesn't happen too much. But it's the same thing with, like, Little League Baseball or, like, up there with, you know, Little League Hockey, I guess. If there's some kids that just don't want to do it and the parents push them into it and the kid would rather be home reading a book or something. So I think it's sort of the same thing.
How did you get into it?
Well, my mother got me into it. When it happened, when I was about 3 years old, she was pushing me around to the stores in a baby carriage, and people would say, oh, isn't he cute? He should be a model. So she took me up to John Robert Powers. That was in New York. I lived in New York. And they accepted me, and I signed up, and I was a child model from the time I was 3 till I was about 6 years old. And that was during the Depression. I was getting $5 an hour. Now, I can't say honestly that I enjoyed that. The modeling was very boring. You have to stand in one position for 20 minutes, and I didn't like it. But then when I was 7 years old, you had to be seven to be on Broadway. It was illegal under that age. And when I was seven, my mother took me up and down Broadway and got me into she knocked on doors of agents and casting directors and producers, and she got me an audition for a play, and I got the part, and I went into the play. I played Melvin Douglas' son. I was 7 years old. And then I went into 27 shows in a row as a child, growing up on Broadway, and that was fun. It was just great. I mean, I'm very grateful to my mother for getting me into it. It was an exciting life, and I made the transition from from child actor into a grown-up actor. Of course, I was lucky. When I was 15, I got into a TV series called I Remember Mama, which I think you got up there in Canada.
Oh, yeah.
This was from 1949 to 58. It was on for 8 or 9 years. And so I grew up. By the time I went off the air, I was an adult at 24 years old. So I was lucky to make the transition, because a lot of kids don't make the transition. They're very cute for a while, and then when the cuteness wears off, and they might be in a big hit series, and the series goes off, and they never work again. But I think that parents should warn the children of that, like my parents did. They said, look, you're having fun and everything, but it might all end tomorrow. It could all end very abruptly. You're only as popular as the show that you're on. To just take it all with a grain of salt and just do a good job. And I think it's an exciting life. I've had a wonderful time. My sister was a child actress. Two of my three sons were kid actors. I worked with all those kids in Eight is Enough. I grew up on a TV series as a child actor. So, I mean, I really, I know what I'm talking about. It was a great, great life, and I'm very grateful to my mother for getting me into it.
Now, you mentioned your sister. That would be Joyce Van Patten?
Yeah, in fact, I just got through doing Showboat in Chicago for 7 months, and Joyce played opposite me. She played my wife. It was the first time since Ethel and Lionel Barrymore that a brother and sister played opposite each other. So I just closed last week. I just got back to Chicago.
Now, I remember as a kid watching your sister on, I guess it would be the Danny Kaye Show.
Oh, yeah. Hey, you're terrific.
Yeah.
You really, yeah, that's great that you remember that. Danny Kaye loved her. He really liked her a lot. She did that show, she and Harvey Korman.
Mm-hmm.
And they were both on it.
Now, you mentioned the fact that you made that transition from a child actor to an adult actor. Do you think part of that reason is a little bit of timing and luck? The fact that, all kids go through the so-called awkward stage, but since you were on a hit series for 9 years, as you say, by the time the show was off the air, you were 24 years old. You were an adult.
Right, exactly. As I said to you, I was very lucky. I mean, it could have all ended, but I was very lucky, and... some kids are lucky. Some kids made the transition. Jodie Foster, Ronnie Howard, Kurt Russell, Richard Thomas, Richard Crenna, these were all kid actors that made the transition and are still acting today and very successful. I mean, Ronnie Howard and Jodie Foster and Sidney Lumet, who all were kid actors, are the three biggest directors in movies today,
Although you have made a point there in that those particular actors went, in the case of Jodie, she's still in front of the camera quite often, but a lot of people go behind the camera as opposed to staying in front of it.
Yeah, and some of them get out of the business completely. Not that they wanted to, but the business just lets go of them and it's all over. But the thing is while they're working, they can make a lot of money, and the parents have to, because of the Jackie Coogan law, which maybe some of your listeners are not familiar with. In the mid-30s, Jackie Coogan was a big child star, and when he was 18, he met this big movie star, Betty Grable, and he wanted to marry her, so he went to the bank to get all the money that he had earned, and it was all gone. The parents squandered the whole thing. And he went to court, and they made a law called the Jackie Coogan Law. He never got any of the money. He did marry Betty Grable. But because of that Jackie Coogan Law, at least the money has to be saved for the child, so that if the child doesn't make the transition, at least he's got a bankroll, and next day to go into some other business or buy a franchise or go to college or something,
Now, in working on a show like Eight is Enough,
yes.
You had an opportunity to work with a lot of kids.
Mm-hmm.
Was that easier for you because you had been in their situation and yourself in the past, do you think?
I think so. I enjoyed working with them because everything they were doing, I went through. I grew up on a series just like they were doing. And so I had a real bond between us, We were very close. And also I had a lot of respect for them because, kid actors are usually very good. They're on every TV series, basically. They all have kids on them, almost, and in the movies. And kids always come through. And when you see a kid actor, they didn't hand them the job. They have to audition about 70, 80 kids to get those jobs. So the one that gets it has to be pretty darn good. And kids always come through. They never seem to forget their lines or anything. The grown-ups will, but the kids never seem to make a mistake. They know everybody's lines. And my heart goes out to them. I think they're terrific. And I also, they say stage mother like it's a dirty word. And there's nothing wrong with stage mothers. There is something wrong with the stage mothers that forces a kid into doing something he doesn't want to do. But if a child wants to do it and the mother, it's not easy for the mother going back and forth to all those auditions and everything. It's very tough. If a mother sacrifices like that to help her child become an actor, I think that she deserves a lot of credit. It's not easy. And I don't just mean as an actor. But I think it's good for kids to work, even if it's delivering newspapers or working in a supermarket. Work keeps kids out of trouble. Now, there's a few kids in the show, kids that got into trouble with drugs and everything. I think the show Todd Bridges and that girl, Dano Plato, there's a whole...
Some different strokes?
Different strokes.
Yeah.
But, that had nothing to do with being a kid actor. There's a lot of kids out there that are on drugs and have problems and not child actors. So I don't think that had anything to do with it.
Now, in working you put this book out, Launching Your Child in Showbiz, obviously you felt that this book needed to be written. I think I tend to agree with you, it needs to be written. Why did you feel you have to be the one to do it?
Well, it happened like this. There's this friend of mine, Peter Burke, who's a writer. And we play tennis. I have a tennis court here at my house. We play tennis almost every morning, and then we go to lunch. And when he would go to lunch with me, he'd see people come up and say, Dick Van Patten, how did you get into the business? How did it all start? And it's so hard for me to explain in 5 minutes to somebody in the street how it all happened, my mother and all that. So I figured out, so Peter, it was his idea. He said, why don't you put this all into a book? And I said, I don't think I could write. He said, I'll help you. He said, I'm a writer. We'll sit together every day for a few hours, and we'll put it, just tell me everything that your mother did, and we'll gather all the information and try to help some parents out there that have children that want to do it. So it was sort of his idea. And then I went along with it, and I because I thought it would really might help some parents out there that have an exceptional child that's very outward, that shows a desire that he wants to do it.
I noticed in the book you also talked to many former child actors, mm-hmm. a sort of a where are they now type situation.
Yes.
Was it easy tracking them down?
Yeah, I tracked them all down. The little boy, Rippy.
Rodney Allen Rippy.
Rodney Allen, I always forget his name. Very cute, and now he's got his own production company, and he's in the production end of show business. He's doing very well. And the boy that does the forward in it,
Don Grady,
he was the little boy on My Three Sons. And his sister was also on Eight Is Enough. She was Lonnie O'Grady. She played Mary, the older sister, mm-hmm. with the one with the deep voice on Eight Is Enough. He's doing very well now, but he's into music, you know. He's no longer in the acting part. He's very happy.
I noticed a lot of times when you read stories about kid actors, some people are concerned that the problem with a child working so much is that it doesn't allow them to, quote-unquote, be a child. Now, you went through this. You worked a lot. Did you feel you lost something in your childhood because you were an actor?
Absolutely nothing. I worked all the time. From the time I was 7, I was in 27 plays on Broadway. Before the plays would open up on Broadway, they would go out to New Haven and Philadelphia and Washington and Boston to try out before they came into Broadway. So I would go on the road with the show for 3 or 4 weeks, and it was always great fun. We used to travel on sleepers, you know, because there were no planes then, and it was an exciting life. And then it would come back into New York, and you only worked at night, you know, a couple of hours every night. And I always remember when I would get a job, I'd always look through the script hoping there were other kids in the play, because then it was more fun when you had other kids to play with backstage and everything. But even if there weren't, even if I was the only kid, you always had an understudy, so there was always a companion. And believe me, I had, I think, more fun than all those other kids that were in the show business. Well, certainly as much fun. It was very exciting. I worked with the most fascinating people in the world, traveled all over. I mean, it was a great education and a lot of fun. I tell you, nobody had more fun than me growing up in the theater.
And I know some people use the term growing up too fast, but I would assume that in working in a situation like that, being around so many adults, that you were rather a savvy kid, that you knew what was going on a lot faster than kids your own age. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that, really.
No, I mean, Tiger Woods now. He's like the biggest thing in the world now, you know, the last few days. And his father had him out there when he was 7 years old playing golf. And look what's happened. I mean, he's probably the happiest guy in the world today. And it goes on and on like that. There's nothing wrong with encouraging a child to do something the child wants to do. And Tiger Woods wanted to play golf when he was a little kid. He saw his father play, and he wanted to do it. Two of my three kids saw me as an actor, and they said that when they were 8 or 9 years old, they wanted to do it too. The other boy had no interest in it, so we left him alone. And the three of them, the other one that didn't do it had a lot of fun, but so did the two that did do it. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. And I know there's a lot of people out there that say, oh, child actor, I would never let my father. Like, I know a lot of actors that say, oh, I would never let my child go into the theater. To me, I'm very excited and very proud to be an actor. It's a lot of fun. And it's hard work, it's not easy, and it's exciting work, and you get a lot of recognition. And you work with the interesting people. So I don't understand why they say they would never let their child in show business. I think it's a lovely way to make a living.
We're talking with actor Dick Van Patten. He has a book out co-written with Peter Burke. It's called Launching Your Child in Showbiz. It's published by General Publishing. It sells in Canada for $27.95. If you have any questions, our lines are free. 7900991 is the number to call. Also, Star Talk, Star 8255, a service of Bell Mobility. And 1-800-491-2523. That's 1-800-491-CJAD for the Laurentians, Eastern Townships, Ottawa Hall area, and also the border states. Our lines are all free. If you want to call in, we'll take a break. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Peter Anthony Holder Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD. To reach Peter, call 790-0991. Toll free, 1-800-491-CJAD. And on your cellular, Star Talk. It's a free call on Bell Mobility.
And we're talking with actor Dick Van Patten, who is the co-author of Launching Your Child in Showbiz, a complete step-by-step guide, forwarded by Don Grady, published by General Publishing, and sells for $27.95. Let's go to the phones. Few lines free if you want to call in. John, hi, you're on CJD.
How are you? Cooper.
Hello, how you doing, John?
Good. It's an absolute thrill to be speaking with you this evening.
Oh, thank you, John.
Two points. First of all, Peter, I wondered if you couldn't ask him to play a different theme when we have Mr. Van Patten on this evening. The other point was, how is Nicholas doing? Because I understand he was in a little bit of trouble and straightening things out. And I'll get off the line so I can let somebody else call and
You want me to tell you all about that, or you want to listen to it on the radio?
Well, yeah, I was going to listen. I mean, I just wanted to find out how he was doing and back in the acting business.
Yes, let me explain everything about it.
Okay, now, thank you, John.
Rich, who played Nicholas, in fact, I think Eight Is Enough was the big hit that it was, largely because of him. He was absolutely wonderful, a wonderful actor. And when people would see me on the street, they'd say, hey, we love Eight Is Enough. We love Nicholas. In fact, we're having a baby. We're going to name him Nicholas. I mean, I got that all the time. We named our little boy Nicholas because of Eight Is Enough. So he was terrific. Anyway, he got into trouble with drugs when he was about 13 years old, when he was on the show. And it was very bad. I mean, I was trying to help him, and there's not really that much you can do when a kid does that, because they have to help themselves. They have to want to stop. And unless they do, they just lie to you and everything, and there's nothing you can do about it. Well, anyway, I'm happy to say that now he's completely clean. He's working as an assistant director at the Disney Studios, and three nights a week he helps kids that are having drug problems, and he talks to them and everything and makes lectures, and he's not paid for this. He does it his own because he wants to help other kids. He's doing very, very well. The one thing he tells me that's interesting, I think that your listeners should know, he says, you know, Dick, I didn't get into drugs because I was a kid actor. When I was on the set, I was working, you know, I'd go to school for 3 hours a day on the set and work the other 5 hours as an actor. I never had time to get in trouble. He said, but when we would go on hiatus and I went back to public school, he said, that's where I got into drugs. He said, when I was working on the show, there was no time for anything like that. And he said, people seem to think that I did it because I was a kid actor. He says, that had nothing to do with it. So I think that the public should know that. Those kids have to work 5 hours a day on the set shooting Eight Is Enough, and then they have to go to school for 3 hours a day. But the education is very good. When they would go back to public school, the kids in Eight Is Enough, when we would go on hiatus, they were so far advanced from the kids in public school because the education on the lot is sensational. It's very, very good.
Okay, let's go to Harry. Hi, you're on TJD.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello, Harry. I'd like to ask your guest just how you go about getting a good agent.
Well, in the book, it lists all the agents, but the franchised agents across the country. It isn't like when I was a kid, everything was done like in Hollywood or New York. Yeah. But today, they're done in every city. In fact, in Canada, I think they shoot more movies in Montreal and Toronto than on the West End, too.
And Vancouver, yeah.
Vancouver, than any other place in America. I mean, they all go up there to shoot, and we list all the franchised agents, all the casting directors, all the phone numbers. So that if you are interested in getting a franchised agent, everything is listed in there. It tells you just how to go about it.
In your book?
In the book. We list all the phone numbers of casting directors and agents. And all the union. You have to get into the union, too. We tell you how to do that.
You do it.
We tell you how to address the children for an audition, how to address them on the callback. It goes through everything step by step.
For instance, I'm looking at the book right now. It mentions one in Anjou, which is the tip of the island. It mentions one in Westmount. Yeah, it mentions, these are, what are we looking at here? These are casting offices. And mentioned several in Montreal, some of whom have been on this program.
Right. And what's the name of the book again?
The book is called Launching Your Child in Showbiz, A Complete Step-by-Step Guide by Dick Van Patten and Peter Burke.
Right. And also, if you allow me to say this, if they don't want to go to a bookstore, they want to order it on the phone, if they call 1-888-CALL-GPG, that's 1-888-CALL-GPG. They can order it over the phone.
GPG.
Now, that number would work in Canada, too.
It should, yeah.
You know, my grandson is in California.
Mm-hmm. Oh, your grandson's in California?
Yeah.
That's where I'm talking to you from right now.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you, Harry.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye now.
Bye-bye. 7900991 is the number to call. How many years was Eight Is Enough on the air?
It was only on 5 years. People seem to think that it was on like much longer, but it was just 5 years. It went on in 77, and it went off in 81, 5 full seasons.
And when the show first went on, Diana Hyland was on, right?
That's right. Oh, boy, you really know everything. Because most people don't remember that she was this beautiful 38-year-old girl who was engaged to be married to John Travolta. and she was so happy when she got the job. And after the fourth show, she got cancer and died. I mean, all within about 5 weeks. It was scary. I mean, look how quick she went. And John Travolta was at the house with her when she died. He called me up. He said, I'm here with her mother and a nurse. I think you better get over right away. And my wife and I went over, and we stayed there for a couple of hours, and then she died right there in the bedroom.
Now, it must have been devastating to the show, because I'm sure with a lot of kids around, there's a certain amount of bonding that goes on between the cast and crew, and then to lose someone like that must have been tough.
It was a shock. I thought that would be the end of the show. I figured, well, that's the end of this show. And, I mean, not that I didn't care about, I was upset about Diana dying, but I didn't think that the show would continue. But instead, they sort of wrote it into the show and made me a widower, and they had me going out with different dates for about 6 months, and then they finally had Betty Buckley come on and had me marry Betty Buckley. And I think the wedding had a tremendous rating, you know. Incidentally, while I was in Chicago, Betty Buckley was there in a play called, also by the same producer, the Canadian company. It's called Livent, L-I-V-E-N-T. They're like the biggest production company in Canada.
Garth Drabinsky.
Garth, that's right.
Yeah.
And so her show was there in Chicago, and mine was too. And so she came to see my play. I went to see her play. We had dinner every night. So we had a good time. She's doing real well. The funny thing is, when she was on Eight Is Enough, she used to beg them to let her sing in one of the shows. And they just dismissed it. They didn't realize how good she was. Now they're probably kicking themselves that they didn't let her sing.
We're talking with actor Dick Van Patten, who is the co-author of the book Launching Your Child in Showbiz, a complete step-by-step guide, also written with Peter Burke, and the foreword is by Don Grady, published by General Publishing, and it sells in Canada for $27.95. We have another half hour to go with Mr. Van Patten. Our lines are free, 790-0991, star talk, star 8255, a service of Bell Mobility, and 1-800-491-2523. That's 1-800-491-CJAD. News is next. Derek Lynn standing by, but first, the TSN Sports Update.
Welcome back to the Peter Anthony Holder Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD. To reach Peter, call 790-0991. Toll free, 1-800-491-CJAD. And on your cellular, Star Talk. It's a free call on Bell Mobility.
A portrait of the happiness that we feel and always will. Oh, it is enough to fill our lives with
Yes, that's a television theme song to the show Eight Is Enough, which starred Dick Van Patten, and he's on the line with us right now. You heard the phone numbers. Our lines are all free. If you have any questions, 790-0991, star talk, star 8255, a service of Bell Mobility, and 1-800-491-2523. That's 1-800-491-CJAD for those in the Laurentians, Eastern Townships, Ottawa Hull area, and also all border states. We have just about another 20 minutes to go with Mr. Van Patten if he'd like to call in. He's also the co-author of the book, Launching Your Child in Showbiz, a complete step-by-step guide, and it's co-written with Peter Burke, forward by Don Grady, who used to be on My Three Sons, published by General Publishing, and it sells in Canada for $27.95. And the one thing that's interesting about the book, Dick, is the fact that you do indeed give tips for people who are in Canada.
Yes, well, because I know so many Canadians, as we were talking before, have been so successful in show business. So many of our friends down here are Canadians, and they're all doing so well. It seems to me that every Canadian that comes down here does sensationally, and so that's why we do devote a lot of time to the Canadian episodes there.
Now, you have had you currently have a very successful career, and you've had a long and successful marriage, and you've raised kids, all within the Hollywood limelight, and people tend to think that that's somehow impossible.
No, first of all, my wife also was a child performer, and we went to professional children's school. When I was a kid, you know, I had to be excused on matinee days, and I would have to be excused for auditions. So I went to public school for about a couple of years, but then after a while they refused to excuse me anymore. So I went to a school that still exists called Professional Children's School. That's in New York. And that's a school for child performers, and they excuse you if you have an audition or a matinee, or if you have to go on the road with a show, they send you the work by correspondence. And I sat next to my wife in the 7th and 8th grade because she was a child performer. She and her brother, they were the world's youngest ballroom dance team. And so now, April 25th, we'll be married 43 years. We've had one, and there's, I'll tell you, there's a lot of people, most of our friends out here that are in show business have been married. I mean, Lloyd Bridges has been married 55 years, Mel Brooks is married 30 years, Carl Reiner's married 53 years. I mean, the list goes on and on. There's a lot of long, you just hear about the ones that break up and everything, but there's a lot of good families out here that have very normal lives and very close-knit families, you know?
Is being a child actor and working in television or films or Broadway, has that changed since you were a child actor? Is it a different business or is it the same?
It's changed, but let me tell you, I think the change helps people because when I was a kid, everything was done in Hollywood or New York, and all the kids looked like me. They were little blonde, curly-haired, Anglo-Saxon, all-American boys, you know? But today they use every type, all the ethnic types. Today they shoot television and movies all over the country. There's so much more work to kids today, and they use every single type. So I think there's a better chance today. I really do.
7900991 is the number to call. All of our lines are free if you want to call in. We're speaking with Dick Van Patten, who is an actor and also co-author of the book, Launching Your Child in Show Business, A Complete Step-by-Step Guide. Would you like to do another television series?
Yeah, probably. Like, I just got through doing 7 months of Showboat in Chicago, and a lot of actors say, oh, I like doing a play because of the live audience. But I think after a couple of months, it becomes sort of redundant, you know, doing the same thing night in and night out. Whereas a TV series is more fun because you're doing a different script every week. You get very close to the actors that you're working with. It becomes very easy because you're very relaxed. You're also used to each other and everything, you know? And I also in TV series, you get a lot of recognition and there's a lot of security. It's fun. I think I would enjoy that the most. Yeah, I'm sure I would do another TV series. I did another one after 8 is Enough called WIOU, and it was very good, but they canceled it after 17 weeks. It just didn't get the ratings.
That was on CBS, the one that was a news program?
Oh, you're amazing. You know everything. That's right. I didn't think you'd even know that because very few people saw it. But it was a good show, and I played the blind, the weatherman, yeah.
Oh, I remember that. Now, that show actually went on the air.
Oh, yeah.
Roughly around the same time that a show very similar to it went on the air in Canada.
No kidding.
Called ENG.
Oh.
Which was a Canadian show very similar to the one you're talking about. And I believe the Lifetime channel actually picked it up in the United States. And the Canadian one ran for 5 years, so there's a little bit of crowing there because, you know, a lot of Canadian series don't necessarily last for too long or survive.
Uh-huh.
And here was one that went on at the same time that yours did and was rather similar and outlasted it. So some Canadians were crowing about that a little bit.
Wow.
a little bit. Do you prefer drama or comedy?
Well, I think comedy is more satisfying because you get, you know, it's tougher. It's more difficult. You know that story about Edmund Gwenn when he was dying, in case you know it, some of the audience doesn't know it, but he was dying and some friend came to visit him and they said, oh, Mr. Gwenn, this must be so difficult for you. And Edmund Gwenn said, yes, it's almost as difficult as comedy. And it's true, comedy is tough. You really have to have perfect timing and I enjoy doing it the most. It's the biggest challenge. And if you do it well, it's very satisfying, you know.
In being a child actor, one of the things that some people are concerned about is the child's, I guess, well, mental well-being.
Uh-huh.
How does one keep that in track? Because let's face it, there are all kinds of temptations out there. And as you mentioned in talking about Adam Rich, the problem wasn't when he was on the set, it was when he went back to school.
Yes.
So what can a parent do if you are successful enough to get your child into the business? And the child is earning a few bucks, what can a parent do to sort of keep a child's level head, I guess?
Yeah, well, as I said before, my parents were terrific. They told me this is a job, and you have to do it well. It's a tough job. You'd be working with adults, and you might get a lot of recognition and everything, but remember, you're only as popular as the show that you're on. It could all end tomorrow. Everybody is replaceable. Clark Abel died. They're still making movies. I mean, they put it in my head, and if they told me there would be rejections, and it doesn't necessarily mean that I'm not a good actor, but sometimes the director, when you're reading for something, the director or the writer has something else in mind, but to get used to the rejection, don't let it bother you, it's part of the game. And also, I think the rejection was almost good. you know, because life is not a bowl of cherries. Everything doesn't fall into place. And I learned at an early age that everything doesn't just work out the way you want it. And it was good. It so that when I became older, it wasn't a sudden shock to me when all of a sudden I wasn't getting everything I wanted. So I guess I owe it to my parents. I remained very level-headed, and so did my sister Joyce, and so did my sons. Jimmy and Vincent were both very successful child actors, and I think it's because the parents have to tell the children that this is just a job, they have to do it well, it might all end, and when it does, they have to go on to something else, and just feel that, well, that's the way it was supposed to be. And I think with that in mind, it can be a very happy way to make a living and a lot of fun, a great experience.
Didn't one of your sons also go into tennis?
Yes, Vincent was on three series as a kid. He was on Apple's Way, and then he was on Three for the Road, and then he was the Bionic Boy on the $6 Million Man. When he was 17, he left acting, and he went on the tennis tour. First, he had to go on the satellite tour to get on the regular tour, and he won the satellite tournament. And then he went on the computer, and then for 9 years he played tennis. He was on the tour for 9 years. He was in the top 25 players the whole time he played. He beat John McEnroe twice when McEnroe was number one. Only four other players had ever beaten McEnroe. And so he was very, very successful as a tennis player. He made a lot of money, and he retired when he was about 33 years old, or 31. He retired, and it was very good. Then now he's back into acting, and he's acting again.
Now, as I was mentioning to you off air when our newscast was on, one of my favorite television shows, which didn't last too long, and I'm still lamenting the fact that I don't get a chance to see it in reruns or anything, was a Mel Brooks television show called When Things Were Rotten, in which you were on.
Yes, you know, it's a funny thing. This was when Mel Brooks was at the height of his success. This is when they were standing on line to pay to see Mel Brooks movies, and here they were getting free Mel Brooks in their living room for nothing, and they canceled it. And that has always remained a mystery, because when I got that job, I figured, oh boy, I'll be on this show for 20 years. And then it was canceled after 13 weeks. The people didn't watch it. Now, they didn't get good ratings. We were on Wednesday night at 8 o'clock, and it was so funny. Every line was a laugh line. I mean, the actors used to break up in the studio while we were shooting the scenes. And so it's a mystery. You could never tell. And then when I did 8 is Enough, when I did the pilot for 8 is Enough, I liked the show. I knew it was good, but I figured, oh, gee, they had the Brady Bunch, My Three Sons, you know, all these family shows. You know, probably this one won't make it. And that was a tremendous success. So I can never tell. I'm always mixed up.
So all the years in the business, and you still can't handicap you and everyone else.
Yeah, no, you're right. It's very tough to tell. You don't know what the public is going to buy. You really don't.
7900991 is the number to call. Lines are free if you want to call in. We have about 15 minutes to go with actor Dick Van Patten. He is the author or co-author of the book called Launching Your Child in Showbiz. If you have any questions about his career or getting your children into showbiz, you know the numbers. The book is a complete step-by-step guide. It's published by General Publishing, and it sells in Canada for $27.95. We'll take a break. We'll be right back.
Peer relationships, sibling rivalry, discipline, divorce, parenting in the 90s can be challenging and demanding. McGill University will once again hold its annual Parenting in the 90s conference. 22 speakers will show you how to make parenting more rewarding and help you deal with the many challenges all parents face. The conference is Sunday, April 27th from 9 to 4 at Hotel du Pape. For information and to register, call 398-2875. Sponsored by News Talk Radio, CJAD.
Floods cause millions of dollars of damage every year in Canada. If a flood occurred in your area, would you really be prepared? Here's one hint. If you live in a flood-prone area, be sure not to store chemical products in your basement and move irreplaceable objects to upper floors. And here's another hint. For more information on emergency measures, contact the Safeguard Network at 1-800-830-3118. Because you just never know.
Food safety with Sally Delaroux Brown.
Eggs are used in many dishes such as soufflés and pancakes, but mishandling can increase the food poisoning risk. Salmonella bacteria are often associated with eggs. Eggs, especially Kraft eggs, are risky foods and must be kept refrigerated until needed.
Now, here's Sally's food safety tip.
Serve only fully cooked eggs. Don't use Kraft eggs. Store eggs in the refrigerator. Wash hands, utensils, and work surfaces.
This message is brought to you by the Canadian Council of Grocery Distributors and this station.
Welcome back to the Peter Anthony Holder Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD. To reach Peter, call 790-0991. Toll free, 1-800-491-CJAD. And on your cellular, StarTalk. It's a free call on Bell Mobility.
917 here on CJD. Was that Vegas you pulled off there, Sheldon?
Vegas.
Robert Urich. Okay. 15 degrees outside. We have on the line with us Dick Van Patten. Lines are free if you want to call in. The book is called Launching Your Child in Showbiz, a complete step-by-step guide, which he co-wrote with Peter Burke, and it sells for $27.95, published by General Publishing. Also, you can order it by telephone, 888-CALL-GPG. That's 888-CALL-GPG. Sonia in NGG, hello, you're on CJD.
Hi, Peter. How are you?
Fine, and you?
Fantastic, honey. I think without you every night, my nights would be so lonely. Well, I've never met you, Peter. How would it be if I met you?
Oh, I don't know, Sonia. Let's just keep the mystery, shall we? You have a question for Dick Van Patten?
Dick, I just wanted to tell you that I'm in my 50s today, but when I was 3.5, 4 years old, I was a little, what you call, a little child star, and I wasn't, what we say, like, there's no business like show business, but I never did it for money. I did it for the love of singing, of acting, of reciting, of dancing, and I remember singing the my little songs, The Paper Doll, and the acting, and it was just wonderful. And you know what I loved was, also, I was a little ballerina, and I was a ballerina for so many years. And what I miss today, Dick, is the craving of people looking at you and saying, more, more, you're beautiful, you're terrific, you're lovely, and clapping, you know, and being the center of attraction. And this is what I'm missing today. And I did it for many, many years. But as I say, honey, I was also in movies, you know, with Mickey Rooney and all those. But I never did it for money. I did it because I love to perform, and I love to be the center of attraction.
Well, I think that a lot of actors feel the way you do. I think a lot of them, I think the money is secondary. They're in it for the good parts and the recognition, because you sure get a lot of it if you're successful.
Yeah, and you know, it was wonderful. And I have so many pictures of me when I was 4 years old, and, you know, performing and looking so adorable. And I was never shy, you know. And now my father's dead. My mother just passed away a few months ago. And I'm an only child. And I look at all those pictures. It brings a lot of tears to my eyes. But it's lovely souvenirs, you know.
Well, did you say you worked with Mickey Rooney?
Yeah, I was in a movie with him. It was just I had a cute little role. I was in a bikini, and the producer loved the way I looked, so he asked me to be. It was in a movie called 24 Hours to Kill. It was in Beirut, Lebanon, in 1964, and I had a little role in there, and I also played with David Niven. You know, it was all things for the fun of it, you know?
Yeah, right.
And to me, everything I did was for the love of performing, you know?
Yeah, well, that's very true of most actors.
Thank you for the call, Sonia.
Thank you, and God bless you all.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. She brings up an interesting point in that she did it for the love. She did it because she liked to perform. And children naturally draw attention to themselves. How do you know if when you look at your child, because everyone thinks their child is the cutest and the greatest, how do you know that your child has talent, and how do you go about beginning to tap that?
Well, first of all, if you have a child that's very outward, not shy, and when relatives come over on the weekend or holidays, they're always in the center of the floor trying to make the relatives laugh or telling stories or singing or dancing, that's usually a tip-off that they want to do it. And also, in the book, we have a few pages there where we ask questions. By the answer of these questions, the way the child answers these questions, you get a pretty good idea. It's not infallible, but it gives you a pretty good idea of whether they really do belong, whether they really would fit in. And I think that's the best way. And, you know, I don't know whether you know this stuff, but my son, Nels, was engaged for 4 years to a girl by the name of Janet Jones. And then he introduced her. Gretzky.
Yeah.
They married her. They're still very good friends. Nels is married now, and Wayne, of course, is married to Janet. And they're very, very close friends. They see each other all the time. And Wayne is over here a lot at my house. But we've also been up to Wayne's house. And Wayne, I don't know whether you know this, but you know, Wayne's father had an ice skating rink built in his backyard. It's a very simple little house that they grew up in. But in the backyard, he made his own ice skating rink. And he had this Wayne and his brothers out there, you know, at 3, 4, 5 years old, you know, teaching them hockey. And, I mean, that's just another thing that where a parent has encouraged their children to do something that the children didn't want to do. Now, I'm sure if Wayne didn't want to do it, their father would have, you know, wouldn't have forced them into it. But it's almost like acting. It's the same thing.
Was there a point for you in all the years you've been working at, well, in the early years when you said you started with the modeling and then doing Broadway, what was there a point for you when you said, yeah, I really got to do this, I love doing this?
Yeah, I tell you, it came very early. I told you before, I didn't enjoy the modeling, that was boring. But when I was 7 years old, right after that show closed, I went into another show called The Eternal Road. I played Isaac. It was a big, big show directed by Max Reinhardt. And it was a lot of fun. I knew then that this was fun. I couldn't wait to get to the theater at night and see the rest of the cast. There were other kids in the show. And it was fun. I absolutely enjoyed it from the age of 8 years on. So when I was 7, I didn't quite know what it was all about. I was just sort of taken there, and I started to like it. But I really enjoyed it by the time I was in the second show on Broadway. And then I did 27 plays in a row.
As I mentioned, there are so many child actors who don't make it to adults. Is there ever a time when you see a child actor, either one that you have worked with yourself or one that you've seen on the screen or on stage, and you say to yourself, my God, that kid's a natural. That kid's going to have a career as long as he or she wants to.
Yes, but then he doesn't. I mean, that's a good question, because I have seen kid actors who were very, very good. And after the series was over, you know, there's a lot of luck involved. And after the series was over, they just fizzled out of the business, and I haven't seen them since. They just disappeared. So, I mean, there is luck, you know. And I know people say, well, talent will out, but not always. There's a lot of talented people out there that are not working. It's hard to say. But I have seen on a few occasions kid actors that were very, very good. They got out of the business and got on their own, you know, just because there were no more jobs for them.
I would assume that most kids, if they're child actors, have some sort of natural talent. Is it a good idea to leave that talent alone, or is it a good idea to send the child to an acting class?
All right, that's a very good question. Now, everybody doesn't agree with me on this, but I think in some isolated cases, an acting school can be good for kids, but in very few isolated cases. I think, as you said, the kids have a natural talent. And they have a way, they act very natural. And I think that sometimes an acting school can kill that. They can destroy it. It can make them sort of self-conscious, make them aware of what they're doing. And they can lose that naturalness. I never went to an acting school, and my sister didn't, and my sons didn't. And they were terrific. And we got all kinds of jobs. And we won all these auditions and everything, and we didn't go to acting school. So I don't think that is necessary. Now, that's not if they're, now, if they're a dancer or a singer. Of course, then they must have lessons. I mean, that's very, very important that they have to have 2 or 3 lessons a week. But as an actor, I don't think you need it, because the whole art of acting is being natural, you know? And once you start to learn how to be natural, it's sort of not natural anymore.
With child actors, especially the really young ones whose reading skills might not be up to snuff yet because they haven't developed them completely, is it difficult with scripts and memorizing lines?
Yes, here's what happens. Let's say that somebody's reading this book that we're talking about, and it lists an agent in their town, and they go to the agent, the child is 5 years old, and the agent will have all these scripts that they have, you know, test scripts to find out whether the child has the potential. And the agent will say to the parent, they'll say, are you going to the next room with your child and teach him these lines, because your child can't read, so he can't read the script. Teach him these lines for about a half hour, 45 minutes, and then come in and I'll run the scene with him. And that's what will happen. The parent will go out there and teach the child the lines and then go back in and do the scene with the agent. And if the agent thinks he has potential, he'll sign him up. And then if he signs him up, he'll start sending him out on auditions. And he doesn't necessarily have to get the auditions, but if he gets a lot of callbacks, a lot of action, the agent will keep plugging away. If all of a sudden he doesn't get any callbacks, he doesn't get a job, maybe about 6 months they may drop him. But at least you gave it a try, you know. It's better to try as long as you gave it your best. and see where the cards fall.
So in the case of a young child actor, there's a certain amount of commitment both on the child's part but also on the parent's part.
Well, it's very tough for the parents. So, you know, like we just said, I mean, just to teach a child how to memorize lines is not easy. Also, taking the parent back, taking the child back and forth to all these auditions. And then, my wife, when my sons were kid actors on TV, my wife had to sit with them every day on the set for 8 hours because you have to have a guardian on the set until you're 18 years old. So it's not easy for a parent. I mean, it's not easy at all. It takes a lot of sacrifice.
You said you've been traveling around doing Showboat?
Yes, I did 7 months in Chicago. I just did the Chicago company.
When will we have a chance to see you on the screen again? Do you have something coming up?
I don't know because I just got back. You know, I just did 7 months in Chicago. I just got back, so I don't know what's going to happen next. I got a call today to go to do a show in, I can't think of it now. I can't think of the city. It's a city with no gambling, but they have all kinds of shows.
Branson, Missouri?
Yes, that's right. But I don't think I'm going to do it. They wanted me to go there for a month at the Wayne Newton Theater and do something. But I have to let them know by tomorrow.
Now, the last
that's what's exciting about an actor. You know, you never know what's going to come up next. It's full of surprises.
But the advantage of being a good actor is you know that there will be another job down the road, as opposed to wondering if there ever will be another job down the road.
Yeah.
You mentioned the fact that I mentioned off air that I saw you on a television series last. The last thing I saw you do was a guest shot, I guess, on Sybil.
Yes.
And that was interesting because it kind of blurred reality in that you played yourself and you died.
I played myself and I got a heart attack right on the air. And then after it was over, they had to put a disclaimer, you know, saying, "Don't worry, Dick Van Patten's alive and well and playing tennis in Sherman Oaks."
Did you ever get any calls from people who were concerned after they saw that air?
Well, no, I didn't get any calls, no, but I mean, people on the street stopped me and said, "Gee, we got scared, you know," but I didn't get any calls, no.
Well, Dick, I really enjoyed talking with you this evening.
Well, I enjoyed talking to you. You're very well informed. It's a pleasure, and I appreciate you letting me talk about the book. I think the book could help parents or grandparents that have a child who wants to do it.
It certainly is a great idea, and from somebody who definitely knows the business, having been a child star and working your way into an adult star and working with a lot of kids and having children yourself who are acting. The book is called Launching Your Child in Showbiz, A Complete Step-by-Step Guide by Dick Van Patten and Peter Burke, forward by Don Grady. It's published by General Publishing, and it sells for $27.95. You can find it in bookstores everywhere, or you can call 888-CALL-GPG. That's 888-CALL-GPG and order it by telephone. Dick Van Patten, thank you for talking with us.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Have a good week.
Take care.
It's 92 degrees here.
Okay.
Bye-bye.